Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You are not hearing things. You are hearing Nate Pass. Good afternoon and welcome to episode 241 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. Proudly a member of the Believe Podcast Network, joining me this evening. Actually, it really should be me joining Benjamin Taylor. That's right. Kyle Rush is in the magical land of magic and Animal Kingdom and all the other kingdoms there down in Orlando. So it's me and Ben hamming egging it just like the old days.
I love
Benjamin
it.
Taylor, white wine, even though it's end of white wine season. What's going on?
It was free white wine. So there's never end of white wine season when they give you free white wine season.
It's never end of free white wine season. You're right. You're absolutely right about that.
My sister came down to visit, so I'm all pumped up. However, she actually stayed in my office that I'm in, which is fine that she moves some stuff around. And she's a Bammer. So I know that Kyle hates when I say that, but I have to bring it up from time to time.
Bammer.
We're part of the Believe Podcast Network. Also, if you're going to go gamble this weekend, you missed out last weekend. Nate, you missed this promotion. I don't know if you had the email or not. Last week, you could not lose money on betonline.ag. If no you way. Bet NBA, up to $250 last week, if you lost, they reimbursed you your money.
No way.
Up to $250.
Talk about a low-risk bet.
That deal does not exist this week. That first week of NBA season, they were just taking the chance that nobody knows what the hell they're going to be doing anyway, so we're just going to give people their money back if they don't bet over $250. However,
just ripping Timberwolves unders.
Exactly. Well, that's what Kyle and I were talking about last week. It's like, take the over on everything because nobody plays defense the first few weeks. So just go ahead and take the over. All the scores are going to be like 125 to 118. Take the over. And so that was last week. This is this week. Back to the real world. So get online and type in Believe. So that way you can go ahead and you can be hooked up with us and you can get that added money put in your account. And it is betonline.ag where the gambling begins. Nate, let's get to it. So these are not necessarily scenarios. However, these are things that we wanted to talk about. And the reason being is because I sent Nate some stuff and this really kind of hit close to home. This first one that we're going to go over right here. And the title of the article is "Hell of a Way to Grow the Game." It's a rock star that is blasting a golf course because of a quote-unquote, you ready for this, tattoo policy.
I don't even know where to begin on this, Benjamin.
And this is in Australia, too.
It's in Sydney, yeah. Which I thought you could literally do anything. I'm pretty sure, like, drugs are illegal.
Pretty sure Sydney. It was a progressive area.
Yeah. Pretty sure there's
wrong.
Nudist Beach is just right up there next to churches there in Sydney.
And so It was a rock star that ended up going, a drummer of all things, Nathan Followill, as he goes up to go play, and they were like, no, Sydney bucket list of golf courses for me just went to the on the effort list, by the way. I was told I would have to cover up my tattoos due to a no tattoo policy. Welcome to the 1950s and a hell of a way to grow the game. All right, first and foremost, so I got a friend that lives in Australia. Their seasons are opposite of ours. They're going into spring right now. So this guy shows up and it's actually fairly warm right there right now. As we are getting colder, they're actually getting warmer. So that's probably he went down there wearing his short sleeves and had some full sleeves or something that they, or maybe he had neck, I don't know. Maybe he had neck tattoos. They got a picture of him. I don't see anything on his face. So I'm assuming he didn't have face tattoos or neck tattoos. You can see his elbows. I'm not real sure what was visible. Maybe he's wearing shorts and he had ankle
tats. Some nice thigh tats.
Maybe that's what
it was. Just a little calf tat?
I really wish they would have shown his tattoos. The article does not show his tattoos, which is beyond me because the whole article is about that.
Kind of about him, yeah.
Now, they do say in their common rules and regulations, they don't have tank tops. I get it. It's not Indian Pines. You can't have tank tops. You got no shorts. It also says no skirts, no untucked shirts, which is, that's another thing that ranks there right there with the tattoos with me. Like there's a lot of guys that don't, they actually make shirts that you don't tuck in anymore. So yeah. I get the no caps worn backwards, no cargo pants. I get all that. It is a private club, so they have the ability to do this. But goodness gracious, Nate, you have tattoos. We've talked about this on the show.
Yeah, multiple.
What if we go up to East Lake and they look at you and they go, all right, so you two, Kyle and Ben, y'all can play. That guy, nope, he's not playing today. He's got tattoos.
So I've got a lot to say on this subject because I am inked up, tatted up, as my dad would like to say, all yeah. tatted up, even though I have three and two of them he doesn't know about because this would be a heck of an episode for him to start listening to. But
also be a hell of a story when he sees where they are.
That's right. And two of my tattoos are golf related. So I feel like maybe there should be a pass there. But where are we? First of all, cargo pants. What is the issue besides there being like just a fashion faux pas of like, you know, they're going to let you wear oversized baggy khakis that look bad, but you can't wear cargo pants?
Yeah, like, I never understood the cargo. I don't wear cargo pants. I don't have cargo pants. We did that episode that I've got the one pair of golf pants that have like a pocket.
A little zipper
down there on the right side. And they're Nike. They're friggin' golf Nike shorts. So I'm not real sure why that's a faux pas.
It sounds like he has run into a club that is so archaic and they're thinking like you might still have to wear a dinner jacket to dinner.
Yeah.
In which case, if you were a drummer for Kings of Leon, that's probably not your, that's not your spot. You know, that's not where you're,
no,
whether it's a bucket list course or not, you know, I don't want to play a stuffy club. If it's famous, then so be it. Like Shoal Creek is a fine line for me because it is very cool. It's very historic, but like, I don't belong at Shoal Creek. Like,
no,
guys like me do not belong at Shoal Creek. I really don't belong in Augusta. I wouldn't care. I would get my tattoo surgically removed.
Yeah.
To
I don't know Augusta when they saw what it was, they probably not.
One of them is Augusta. Yeah. Yeah. Which I would just go back and get it again after I surgically removed it.
Right.
Speaking of things that you do to play Augusta. But I mean, like, we are in 2022 and it's no longer drummers and rock bands who have tattoos, you know? Like, your pastor probably has more. You're more than likely your pastor has a tattoo in this day and age if he's under the age of 40.
No, you're completely correct. I mean, it's especially if he's a youth pastor or if he's a musical director, I can promise you there's a tattoo somewhere.
It says Selah. Where it says it,
yeah,
different, but it's gonna say Selah somewhere.
Yep. And here's my issue is. You brought this up when you and I were talking about this off the air, and I'll go ahead and I'll kind of steal your thunder here, and I'll say it. This guy's Kings of Leon drummer. Like, make an exception. Why do you want this PR move?
It's like it's part of his like professional reputation.
Do you think that he doesn't just rail on you guys at the concert later that night that he's playing at, where he's got 80 to 150,000 people sitting out in front of the Sydney Opera House that are listening to him. And he goes, you know where you don't go? Don't go to this club. You know why? They kicked my ass out today for having a tattoo.
For a tattoo. But because I'm a drummer in a rock band.
Yeah.
You get mocked for not having tattoos as a drummer of a rock band. And look, if you – the collared shirts, I 100% understand. Don't show up to a golf course not wearing a collared shirt now. Collared has become that's been muddled a little bit. Our friends at Primo have muddled that for us. The Tiger wore the mock turtleneck, you know. The collared shirt's non-negotiable. Backwards hat, I'm fine with drawing that line.
Yeah.
But like you show up with a tattoo, like you can't do anything about that. You can't go change. They can't make you buy a shirt in the pro shop to make sure you have a collared shirt. You've got a tattoo. It's part of your body. It's like, no, you have to shave your beard before you play golf, you know?
Right.
Like, you can't do anything about a tattoo. I'm telling you, it's right here. I can't take it off.
Look, I get the ground rules for wanting the club to be, quote-unquote, prestigious. You got a guy that's probably a multimillionaire that is the drummer for Kings of Leon. These are the type of people you want coming in your club. Not just coming in your club, you want this guy inviting four other people to come in the club with him to go play. And now, not only have you pissed him off, just about everybody in the music industry that knows him and probably plays golf with him.
Absolutely.
Ain't going to your club anymore. Not just that. How many of those guys are multimillionaires, Nate, that may pay for a membership at that club that they may go play three times a year?
Mm-hmm.
And you've now put yourself in a corner where they don't give a shit about you anymore.
What happens if Ricky Fowler shows up? What happened if Tim Hudson shows up? What happens if any NBA player in the entire world shows up to play? Yeah. Like, okay, you got something against a drummer. He's not in your, you know, he's in music. This is golf. We're going to discriminate. What happens if some, like, what literally, what happens if Ricky Fowler shows up?
Yeah, Ricky's invisible, isn't it? Isn't it right there?
Maybe I think it's down here, maybe. I mean, he's got like three or four of them.
Oh, that's right. He's got one right here.
I'm telling you, you can't just get one. Ain't nobody I know has one.
Lori does. There you go.
Lori's got one?
She's got one.
Yeah, that you know of.
No. I've seen just about everything there is.
What's up, Dad?
We enjoying this episode? We got two kids. Trust me, she's got one. I can promise you.
I
digress. I don't need to go there. She listens to this, I'm going to be in big trouble.
Speaking of tattoos, let me diverge just a little bit. Me and my little sister had matching tattoos lined up. I was going to go upper thigh. It was going to be awful, and I was psyched. I was pumped. And then it had nothing to do with us. It was just like this tattoo. She's like, I'm going to get this. Do you want to get it with me? Yes, absolutely. Good reason to get one. Match with your little sister. And then, boom, like I called to make the appointment. COVID shuts down tattoo parlors. I met my future wife, and she was like, you can either get a tattoo or you can marry me, but both are not going to happen. I went with marriage, and here I am on the dead.
I really thought that story was going somewhere else. I thought you were going to say that once COVID hit, your sister backed out and you went ahead and got the tattoo and she didn't. I'd be super pissed.
That would have been rough. I mean, I just would have made her be like, hey, whenever things come back around,
you're going and I'm taking you and I'm going to watch you do it.
Which she also met her significant other during that time. So could have been weird to,
How's it worked out for both of y'all then?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I still want the tattoo, but
we'll get more into detail that. So yeah, by the way, golf clubs, like I get the dress code is one thing. Tattoos. Yes. I mean, let me ask you this.
We're going to turn down dudes that have hair and a ponytail.
Well, that's the thing. It didn't say it, but what if another drummer shows up? He didn't have any visible tattoos, arms, calves, ankle, whatever, face tattoos, neck tattoos, but he's got like multiple piercings, lip
Pages.
Ring, nose ring,
eyebrow ring,
whatever, eyebrow
or
ring.
Earrings at all. What if we're just talking straight one piercing? Because apparently these people hate everything.
Yeah, this is a bad look for you, Mr. Club in Sydney. So what I would suggest that you do is make it on a case-by-case basis, because that's another thing is the picture of the dude. I saw nothing on his arms, nothing on his face or neck. That's all that they showed of him. So it had to have been some sort of calf tattoo or leg tattoo or something of that nature, just because there's nothing else that shows. And surely he wasn't going to go shirtless when he's playing out there.
You know, I can see like face tattoos, like, hey, what's, you know, because it's just people have face tattoos. Now, more than likely, you're just not going to run into that issue. Like a guy with a face tattoo is going to find himself in a nice pro shop of an exclusive country club like never.
Not your not your typical dad by golf pod listener.
No. So we can go ahead and rail on the face tat guys, you know, just a little bit. If we have anybody who listens to this with a face tat, send it in. We'd love to.
We're going to retweet it. If you send it to us, it's going to be on social media.
But let's simplify our dress codes. Let's say you wear your hat forged. Let's say your shirt's got to have a collar. And I mean, I'm fine with no jeans. I'm fine with it. I don't quite understand it, but I'm fine with it. And then like after that, just carry yourself in some form of respectful way, because you can match up to the dress code and then go pound 12 beers and do donuts on the green with a golf cart, and like, you know, it doesn't matter that you're wearing a collared shirt that was tucked in with a hat forward and pants.
What's like you just said, let's say we got the youth director of the Baptist church that's there playing golf, who ain't drinking, ain't smoking, he's right, behaving,
not
himself,
gambling,
but he's got a tattoo that's visible,
bond servant in Greek,
he can't play.
Oh, you guys are at one.
He can't play even though y'all ask him to bless the food.
That's right.
What is that all about? Listen, we get it. We get people have to have rules. We get it that private clubs get to do what they want to do. This is stupid. Y'all should have worked something out. It's a black eye on you guys for doing so.
If they'll let you in church with it, they ought to let you on a golf course. And that's where I'm going to leave it right there, bud.
Well, no, you can't say that because you just said collared shirts, and you can't sometimes people wear T-shirts to church.
No, I'm saying, but if they'll let you in church with a tattoo, they ought to let you.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. You know, I completely agree with that.
They'll let you teach kids at church with a tattoo.
Hey, listen, check out Swannies. Nate, did you know this? We have the Black Swan boxes headed our way. And we are going to do an unboxing video for you guys. That is going to be coming out. Go to swannies.co, dadbodgolfpod-25. Let me go ahead and express to you the last episode Kyle asked me about it. I got the grab bag. You can do that at any point. And I would suggest you do that because you can get like 3 shirts for like $60. So that is pretty awesome. Do the grab. You don't know what they look like. That's why it's called a grab bag. You just say you give them your size, give them your 60. You can enter the Dad Bod Golf Pod -25, get the discount, and then 3 random shirts show up at your house. Don't tell your wife about it. Makes for a great Christmas present. Do that. Is it swannies.co, Dad Bod Golf Pod -25. What people hate about people on the course, Nate? Oh, my goodness. Top 5 ways you secretly are annoying your playing partner.
Or if you're Ben who doesn't care about anything, not so secretly, because Ben will just tell you how the hell he feels at any point.
Yeah, I'm pretty wide open, by the way.
Especially, I tell you what, me and Zach and me and Ben and Kyle get on like a little what's the best of each food in Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you what, Ben, that's the real Ben Taylor right there. Oh, really? That's your favorite place that your grandmother takes you to every week? It's trash. It sucks. Oh, cool, Ben. You've had a drink. Awesome.
One beer. All right, let's go over these things before you keep going. Top 5 things. Relax. It's just a lag putt as opposed to the alternatives of clear indifference. Golfers tend to think providing feedback on other shots is harmless. Small talk, blah, blah, blah. Maybe striking the wrong note can be insulting to the point of infuriating. Consider both extremes. Marginally decent shot by your partner suggests disappointed with not your best or even your worst or gushing and blah, blah, blah. Hey, it's in the air. All golf is subjective unless you're certain that they share your opinion, your commentary kept to yourself. We've talked about this before. I know they're saying the title of it's relax, it's just a lag putt, but the whole thing where a ball looks like it may be going in, but it hasn't gone in yet and it lips out and you're like, oh, great putt. Oh,
keep your mouth off of the ball.
Just stop.
Look, if it's a great shot, if it's a flop shot with no green to work with, if it's a deep bunker and it's just a universally good shot, tell them, you know, shout it from the rooftops. Bomb drive. Oh, baby, you just nuked that shit. Otherwise, let it be, man.
Yeah, it's one of those things where and a guy tees off. Kyle, by the way, sometimes off the rails, dead right.
Yeah, it's bad.
150 yards right. Don't do the, hey, come back. But come on back. Come back.
Kyle will do all the talking. He'll do all the talking.
Just let it go. You don't need anybody wrapping a club around your head. I mean, just stop with the commentary on other things, especially, I know this is bad, like we do it. Me, Nate, and Kyle play. We do it, but we're needling each other. If I'm playing with somebody new that I've never played with, I'm keeping my mouth shut. I don't know how that person is. They may pull out a gun on the course for all I know. I don't have any clue. Just stop with the whole great putt, great shot until it actually is, okay? You know, a guy that you may have missed his swing and he caught it fat and it looks like it's online, but it ends up coming up like 75 yards short and you're like, that looks good. Oh, man, you got to get up. Nate's got to get up.
Bet the wind catch it?
Yeah.
Now, on the flip side, don't be that guy, especially when you're playing with people new and you're trying to somehow set some possible standard. Like, if you miss a 30-footer and you're, like, pissed off, don't be that guy either. Like, manage your expectations. Like, you hit it – like, you have a wedge in your hand and you hit it to 20 feet. I know you're not fired up about it, but, like, you're like, oh, I'm usually –
Yeah.
20 feet with a wedge, dude? Like, look, if you were on tour, if you were good enough to be on tour, you wouldn't be out here playing at 10:20 on Thursday with us. So,
yes,
you know, crack open another cold beer, light another cigarette. Let's get on to the next hole.
Next one. You ready? This kind of bleeds in. These two kind of bleed over. There's a reason no one asks you. Okay.
Yeah.
When Kyle goes wide right, if he hasn't turned around and looked at me and Nate and said,
What am I doing?
Then don't automatically start offering up. You know, if you open up your hips and, you know, maybe you swing from the inside out so you can go left instead of right. Stop, stop. We had a guy like that in college. Nate, I swear to you, he was a good friend of mine. I've never been closer to fighting somebody on a golf course in all my life. Is you would hit a bad shot and he immediately went into teacher mode. And
the bad part is every bad shot you hit.
Well, the bad part is we beat his ass every single time we played. So I don't know why he was giving advice because he needed to be doing his own problems. That's another thing. You've got your own issues you got to cover. Okay. You're not a registered coach. Quit giving advice on the golf course. If somebody asks you, it's that whole thing you've seen that have shown up in memes and have shown up in reels and that kind of stuff where you go, you know, maybe this and this and this and this, but man, I don't know. Like, end it with, I'm not real sure, but stop acting like you know what you're doing. You're not Butch Harmon. And you know what? He gets fired all the time by other pros.
And he's the best.
And you're still not Butch Harmon.
Yeah. You can't even sweep the dust off of Butch Harmon's shoes. Look, I don't, some people may want to fill the silence. If I blast one that's like out of bounds from the time I make impact, I want there to be dead silence. I want it to be me and my thoughts. I want to be able to cuss and yell freely and unabatedly. Yep. And I want to go get in the cart. And if I want to, you know, if I want to hash it out with my cart partner at that point, but the tee box is mine. Let me say my piece between me and myself, you know, my God and the golf course. Anyway,
let's say, go ahead. The next one kind of
you skipped one by the way.
Oh, did I really?
We have time for a tweet, not a novel. And I do want to camp out on
this. Oh, look at there. Okay. Go ahead.
The art of a quick golf story. Because you've got two rounds, right? You've got the round where you're waiting on every shot, the 6-hour round. And that's when you can start getting deep, right? Like, let's talk about, let's talk about our feelings. Let's talk about
the scramble
that happened to us.
The scramble is going to be 6 hours long.
Let's talk about things that happened to us as kids that make us the way we are now, you know? Mm-hmm. But if you've got the twilight round and it's just two or three of you and your wife's on you and you're trying to get done, you've got to be able to condense that 2-minute story, not into a podcast, but into the old 28-second. Because I don't need to be standing there waiting for you to finish a story to hit. That will kill a round. Kill a round. If you're on the tee box waiting for the story to wrap up, you know it is. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, it's funny that we mentioned it. I can't believe I skipped this because I got a story. You know, Kyle makes fun of me. I always got stories. So
it's a podcast. You can go as long as you want.
Last time, our my buddy Bobby and I played. We went out to RTJ and they paired us up with a single who walked.
Wait a second. I might know this guy. Is he a waiter?
No, he's an older guy. I doubt he's a waiter.
I don't know. You don't know what he does because I put an older guy that's a waiter. There's like a member out there that walked single.
Could be the same. Does he also hunt balls?
I don't remember excessive ball hunting. I had a push cart. Anyway,
this is excessive. This is by far excessive. Like every hole we went to that had water, he was going through the water and trying to get balls.
I don't think I remember that.
So number one, that's bad. But number two, every tee box we got to, he had some sort of story, golf related thing to tell us. He was trying to win us over. I'm not trying to be rude. Okay. You're in sales. I'm in sales. We have to relate to people constantly. So it's kind of stamped on our head. Talk to me because people will give you information that you don't necessarily need. On a golf course, I'm not selling you anything. Like, quit selling me your game. Just hit the ball. I don't care. I got paired with you. The chances of me getting paired with you again are probably slim and none. Mm-hmm. If you want to get paired again, or you want to pick up a group, or instead of you playing by yourself, you want to make friends, the way to do it is not to talk their effing ear off on every tee box and every green. And since he's walking, he's talking to us. So me and Bobby are kind of in a bad position. Like, you can't take off in your car.
Oh, because you got a slow roll next to him? Oh, miserable. Oh. Miserable, miserable. Gross. It's like the people who try and tell stories to you as their car partner's pulling off and they're in the passenger seat and they're trying to yell back to you. And you're like, what? And like starts in the brakes, disaster.
Yes. And so this hits close to home because this just happened to us. And don't be that guy, please. We quit after nine.
Ooh. Oh, you told me about that. You told me about that round.
Yes. We quit after nine, and trust me, the whole course was slow. He didn't help. If it would have just been me and Bob, we probably would have sticked it out because we could have, you know, sticked it out. You like that? Stuck it out. We could have visited. We could have had a good time in between shots, but once we got that guy that wanted to relate to us and be buddies and tell stories, don't do that, please. Just be a bro. Just be a dude. Just enjoy yourself. What is the next one?
Golf is a great one-liners. Like, just rip a little funny one-liner. Get everybody laughing. Quick little 8-10 second story. Good punchline. Boom. On to the next one. Let's see. We're down to it's possible your game is not as interesting to everyone else.
Okay. So same guy in college. Did the same thing. Every time he hit, if he hit a bad shot, he explained to us what all took place.
We just live in this world where, like, just commentary on everything. Like, we want to commentate on our life.
Yes.
Like, and nobody cares that you usually hit a draw and all of a sudden you hit a fade. Like, I tell you what, just, you know, believe it or not, and here's a life lesson for you folks. This goes beyond the golf course. Like, in general, you are just probably not as interesting unless you are a drummer for Kings of Leon and you have a lot of tattoos.
Oh, yeah,
you're most likely not as interesting as you find yourself to be. Now, and this, that's from a guy who finds himself massively interesting. You know,
it. Okay, so same deal. You get paired with a guy like that I did. Don't explain to me how you played it last time out.
Like, or how you normally play it.
Like, I don't play with you every day. Normally, you know, if I play with Nate and Kyle and we're playing every week and I go into a story about, man, you know, last time I did this and I did it and didn't work, like, they will listen. If I go and I play with some rando, and I'm explaining it to him, he doesn't care. And not only does he not care, he just wants to move on and play the next shot. You need to be that guy. Like, just there's a ready golf. There's a way to say it where it's, you know, keep the pace moving, all that kind of stuff. That's part of it. The whole storytelling deal and you explaining why you did things wrong. You know why you did things wrong? Because you're not a pro, you're an amateur.
That's right. We don't have these high expectations for you. Like, you know, like, Ben, you know that you, in your heart, you don't give a rat's ass about how the other guy's playing. Like, if you just keep up. If you're playing bad, I don't care. If you're playing good, it's fun. It's more fun to watch, but I don't care. But, like, in our minds, we duff a shot and we're like, oh, dude, these guys are judging the hell. No, we're not. Do you judge the hell of people when they duff one? No. Just, and you're out there to enjoy the game of golf.
It's
firing me up right now. I'm sitting in my house at 9 o'clock surrounded by wine.
I got a buddy that it's just one of those things where they constantly want to remind you of how good they could be. And it's just like, no. Look, keep up. Just keep the pace of play. One of the guys from work said, no, I don't want to play with you because, like, I'm not very good. I said, do you play fast? I don't care if you shoot 120. As long as we're not hunting for six balls on every hole and you keep up with the pace of play, I don't care how bad you are.
Some Everybody of my loves favorite golf. People to play with can't break 100 and never will.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. We're okay with that. You don't have to be a guy that constantly shoots in the 70s and lower 80s to play with any of us. I don't care if you shoot 120. I just want you to keep up. Like, there's another guy that we play with that he's constantly going to shoot probably 110 or above. But he hits a ball like in the woods. He's like, okay, yeah. I'll just drop down there. Like, I'll he doesn't go hunt has. For it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I will say,
like you just said, he said, do you mind if I just drop with you? And we don't, because you know what? He's not going to shoot 77, regardless of where he drops. So we're like, yeah, go ahead. Ready golf. Let's go. Let's play. Quick golf. Let's play. And so be that.
I will say I've understood that before because now I've gotten more used to it. But the first time I played with a guy who was a pro, like a mini tour guy, my first time I played with him, it was scary. Scariest thing I've ever done, right? He's a mini tour guy. He doesn't care. We're not playing for a bunch of money. He's not like on my team and I'm trying to, you know, qualify him for a tournament. But it is nerve-wracking to play with people who are astronomically better than you. But you come to realize that they don't care either. They want the same thing that you want. The tour pro wants the 5 handicapper or the 10 handicapper to keep up, just like the 10 handicapper wants the 36 handicapper to keep up.
Yep.
Just keep up. That's all they want. That's all. If you play with Tiger Woods, he just don't want to wait on you.
Yeah.
You know?
You lining up putts and taking 15 practice swings, stop it. You're not that good. All right, final one. We want you to care, just not too much. And this goes to the people that overthink it, like the guys that we were talking about breaking down their swing and that kind of stuff. Same thing. It said you got two ends of the spectrum. You got one end, the guy that never knows where the match stands. That's me. I don't know. I always, when everybody's like, hey, we got this bet and this bet and this bet, I'm like, who's keeping up with this? I'm not. I'm just not going to do that.
Right.
And then the other guy that requires a subpoena or some sort of spreadsheet to keep up with every single hole. And then when you get to the tee box, everybody's breaking down, well, who had what, you know, who had a Sandy, who had a bullet, who had a snake, who made double, who made birdie, who made, you know, bro, goodness gracious.
If you are the guy in charge of keeping up with the bets, when you're walking off the green, you got to know what everybody had. Yeah, because on the green, I generally know what everybody's putting for.
Yeah.
Like, I know that everybody, and I'm not even because I ask, just because I keep up with golf. You know, I may clarify, I'd be like, hey, Ben, are you putting for par? Oh, you chunked one back there. I didn't see that. Okay. But, hey, what'd you have, you know, 3 holes ago? What'd you guys have?
Yeah.
If that's you, you shouldn't be keeping score.
Yep. Do not do that. Like, Nate said it best. I mean, I usually go under. Like, if I know Nate probably chunked one and I didn't. I may not or may have seen part of it. I may, when we get on the green, when he putts, I go, that par? Nah, I bogeyed. I chunked one back there. Okay, cool. And locked I write in. It down, move on.
Locked in. Yep.
Like, quit saying.
And, you know, the common golf courtesy is as you all walk off the green, as you all have that 25 seconds from the green to the carts, shout it out. Everybody shouting out. Four pars and a birdie. Boom. Done.
And it's easy. Here's the easy thing. You ready for this? This is mind-blowing. You ready for this? When you're the last guy puts out or gets given the gimme and you put the pin back in or whatever, you're walking off, what did everybody have?
There you go. You've got a built-in section of time where you're doing nothing but walking and thinking about the three-footer that you just missed.
You got 25 to 60 seconds to write down what everybody just said.
True.
So you can keep up with it. End of the day, top 5 things that annoy everybody. All have to do with pace of play.
It's the root of all evil.
Keep up pace of play. Pay attention. Quit overthinking everything. And you'll have a better round of golf. So
somebody once told me, and I haven't really taken this to heart very well, but never miss a good opportunity to shut up.
Exactly. That's a very sales 101.
Never lived it out, but.
That's a sales 101 thing right there.
There you go. Let the customer. Yeah, that's right. Also, let them test drive overnight, and they will freaking buy, baby. Let me tell you.
Kyle's at Disney. Nate and Ben right here. Nate's already down 2 bottles of wine. I'm working on my 3rd. We're having a good time. Join us again next week. You guys have a great weekend. This will be the last episode of the week, and the reason being is because, as I said, Kyle's out of town. So you got Live Golf, the finale that's taking place this weekend down at Trump Doral down in Florida.
50 million team event.
Oh, it's unbelievable. We were going to get to some of that tonight. We were going to get to another scenario tonight. So we'll just save that for next week, just because it's all worthwhile in doing so. Go visit Swannies. Go to betonline.ag. And other than that, we appreciate you guys going to YouTube and everywhere else you can find us, Dad Bod Golf Pod.
That's forever. No way.
Satin Rogan.